Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So it was, probably less than 2 weeks ago, one of my conversations with the Lord, I'll just kind of spill out a little bit of my personal, closeness with the Lord, my conversations with the Lord. I still got to grow. I still got to be changed more. I don't have this all down pat. I'm still learning Him and growing to know Him. And so, but, you know, in one of my times of appreciating Him and who He is and who He has been to me personally. And so this conversation was happening while I was in my truck, my pickup truck. And I was going down the road, and I was up north, and I was kind of carrying over from my Bible reading, listening time that I had prior, and just kind of got in the truck and had to go and do a couple of errands, and I was thinking about something, and I don't ever recall in the decades that I have known the Lord ever thanking Him for this. It was kind of a new little thing. I've always thanked Him for being merciful to me and gracious to me and helpful to me and just forgiving and all those things. But I thanked Him for something. I said, Lord, I want to tell You thanks for never mistreating me. And my mind started to go through things that I could remember in God's Word, Old Testament and New Testament, just how He has treated people, especially the Gospels, because, you know, Jesus came and put human skin on, right, for 33 years. And we get to see in the Gospels how He interacted with people, how He treated people. And He never mistreated anybody. Did He ever rebuke anybody? Well, yeah. But that's not mistreatment. You know, He is going to say some challenging and difficult things to you and I. Much of it's in here. But that doesn't make Him unkind. I mean, why would God do that? Because He doesn't want us to lose out in the end, right? Scripture says, you know, in different places, but certainly, you know, in Hebrews. And, you know, he talks about, He disciplines those and treats them like a son or daughter or His offspring, right? And He uses this comparison of discipline between a parent and a child. He says, those that I discipline are the ones that I receive into myself. The ones that I discipline, I do it because I love them. Hear this. God's not out to ruin your good time. Disciplines us because He loves us. But that is not mistreatment. And I thanked Him and I said, you know, I've discovered some hard teachings. I've heard You speak correction into my life, but You've never mistreated me. People mistreat me, but I have also been guilty of mistreating people. See, this is a two-way deal. We can't just go, poor me, my friend mistreated me. Poor me, my family mistreated me. Poor me, my spouse mistreated me. Poor me, a stranger, a community person, or somebody we just bumped, they mistreated me. And we just kind of sink into this, you know, poor me. And we have to remember that, you know, they mistreated Jesus. He doesn't call us to anything that he himself has not had to endure or go through. And so I thanked him. I said, Lord, you've never mistreated me. I want you to think about that for a moment. With all the mistreatment that can come into our life, I want you to hear this. The Lord will never mistreat you. He'll never mistreat you. Listen to this. There's a reason why. It is not in his nature to mistreat you. It is in your nature and my nature to mistreat others. He will not mistreat you even when you mistreated him. It was this really personal, intimate realization and gratitude that came out of my mouth because of what I was meditating on about the Lord. He's never mistreated me. In all the years, he's never mistreated me. I want you to find a security and a peace and a stability that the Lord will never mistreat you. He hasn't mistreated me even when I failed him. He hasn't mistreated me even when I dealt with something wrong. He's never mistreated me even when I would mistreat myself. You ever been guilty of that? He will never mistreat you. And in 1 John chapter 4, there's a great, listen, 1 John chapter 4, I want to encourage you, even if you don't normally read your Bible, sometime this week, if you would go to 1 John chapter 4, if you don't know where it is, it's at the far right end of your Bible, and you can work your way back, or you can look in the front in the table of contents. It'll give you a page number. But 1 John chapter 4, if you will read 7, verse 7 through 21, and just, you can read it through and then go back and read it slow. And just kind of think about what's being written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of this revelation. And there's so many key verses there, the whole passage. But in verse 16, it says this, "So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us." It's as much as, you know, as much as we want to be loved, sometimes some of us find it very difficult to receive that love. One, because we know ourselves. And if we get real honest, we know our history. And we know the very private thoughts of our heart. We're grateful for the compliments from people, but they don't see all the way into here, but God does, and we see it. And we know, if we take time and we're honest and don't fool ourselves with no lie, we know where our flaws are. We know where our tendencies are. We know where we still have to catch ourselves and correct ourselves in here before it comes out here or some conduct that we do. And yet, he doesn't mistreat us. And so part of this understanding comes through knowing and believing, experiencing, receiving the love of God. It sounds so simple, but I'm talking about the sincerity and the reality of receiving into your life the love of God. And the reason we struggle is we so very much equate our performance, right, with being loved. If I do good, God loves me more. If I don't, he doesn't love me so much. When I did good as a kid, I felt extra love from my parent or parents or somebody, right? But if I didn't do well, I didn't feel so loved. And we know feelings are a very powerful thing. God has given us the gift of feelings, but we know that they can be used as a detriment. And I want to encourage you to receive, really receive, the love of God into your life so that you can know and believe and be assured and be at peace that God is love, as the scripture says. He has given himself to love you, gave himself for us while we were yet sinners, lost, right, corrupt, and still loves us and will not mistreat us when we continue to sin. He'll never mistreat you. He'll discipline us. He will allow some things to oppress us so that its work can bring us to our senses and say, wait a minute. I need a Savior. I need rescuing. I need to respond to this love of God in my life. Because what does it say? God's loving kindness is what draws people to repentance. Not just the I'm sorry, but to the change. Repentance, changing. The love of God is so powerful that it can change us. I want you to know that it is not an easy work for God. Now, all things, he is powerful to do it, but he's given us a will, and this is what is so challenging, is it's not an easy work to go from our tendency, our nature, to go from our nature, which is flawed and sinful and corrupt and just, you know, those things, right? It is not an easy work to go from our nature to grace. That's not an easy work. And then to bring us from grace to glory, that is not an easy work. You know yourself. You know humanity. You know what it is to know to do right and do wrong. And you know what it is to you know, want to do it and you fall short, and then sometimes you just don't even want to do it. Those battles within us, and God knows and he sees all this, but he will never mistreat you. He loves you. He loves you. Hands down, he loves you. It's his nature. It's who he is. He's displayed it. He's proven it. And this whole thing about receiving God's love, if you were to look at John chapter 13, part of that chapter talks about when Jesus gets together with his disciples. And after dinner, he takes off his outer garment, and he goes and he grabs a towel, and he ties it around his waist. And he gets a basin, has water in it. And he begins, one by one, to come and wash the disciples' feet. Because their feet are dirty. They've been walking around on the dusty roads. They needed to be cleaned. And so he comes and he kneels down, Gobes, and he, don't put your foot on, I'm not washing it. You wore shoes. Your feet should be clean. I will serve you in other ways, okay? Right? Because that's the point. It's not about we got to all come wash each other's feet. Now, I've been in a foot washing service, and we do that. But the reality is it's not about washing somebody's feet. It's about serving them and humbling ourselves and preferring them over us, that we will do whatever it is to take to serve them. That's the point. Jesus is doing. And so Jesus, I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, imagine this for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, the Master, putting on a towel, kneeling down, taking your sandals off for your Asics? Taking your Asics off. Oh, she wears Asics back here. You got a fan. Okay. Taking your Asics off, your socks, and just taking your foot. Think about it. Jesus. And putting your foot, washing it, massaging it, taking it out, and drying it off. As this is happening, he comes to Peter. Peter says, like I feel I would, you are not washing my feet. You're not washing my feet. I should be washing. You will never wash my feet. You are Jesus. You are not washing my feet. And Jesus says something very powerful. He says to Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you will have no part of me. If you don't allow me to serve you, to love you, if you don't receive this, if you don't receive this love from me, you will have no part of me. You see, it's an interesting thing about receiving love from people, receiving love from God, specifically God, receiving love from Him. I'll tell you what, it does some significant things. I want to bring a couple of things to the forefront. One of the things is if we don't receive love from God, we will love ineffectively other people. We will not love ourselves effectively. We will even do things for other people under the title and guise of love, but it's not really love. There's all kinds of examples. Let me just give this one real quick. You are a parent, and you hurt your child, you mistreated your child, or maybe the relationship with their father or mother, depending on if you're a man or woman, and the relationship blew up and they lost out and you feel bad about it, and so you want to try to love your child, and so you go out of your way to, you know, buy them things, give them things, as if that is going to replace the mistreatment somewhere. I've watched this with people my own age when I was a teenager or young adult, or, you know, they didn't have a great relationship and their parent or whatever tried to throw things at them as if it was going to cover this, like I'm trying to get this love back. It didn't matter how great the gift was. Most were so mistreated or hurt that the fancy dress, the cool toy, the whatever it is, didn't mean anything. And yet we call it as an expression of love. You see, we will love ineffectively if we do not receive the love of God into our own life. I mean, the passages that I recommended and many other passages have a lot to do with, because we have been loved by God, we have received His love. Now I can go and love other people and should go love other people, and I will do it more effectively because He is love and I have received it from Him. Amen. I cannot give what I do not have. We can pretend, we can call it what we want, we can look at some righteous act and think, hey, I'm doing okay and I redeemed it all. And listen, without receiving love from Him, we will love ineffectively because we won't know how to do it He models it. He does it. It's why some of us can grow up without an example of great love in our life. And some in here, you've grown up maybe without great parents or loving parents, or you don't even know who your parents are. And you get married, or you're going to have your own child, and you're like, I don't know what kind of father I'm going to be or mother I'm going to be because I don't know how to do this. I want you to know, yes, you do. If you receive the love of God, your Father in heaven, you receive His love. He is going to show you, and you will love effectively your child. You do not have to repeat the history that you came from. You dads who maybe didn't have a great dad, you are without excuse. Because you have a Father in heaven. And He's perfect. And He will help you and show you how to father your children because of the way that He treats you. But you have to be able to receive that from Him. That grace, that mercy, that love with, you know, no condition, that love that comes to you that you don't hinder because you know your failures or you know who you are in the depths of your heart. You got to receive that love. Here's the other important thing about receiving the love of God. If we don't receive the love of God, we will continue to be predominantly empty in here. Now listen to this, when we're empty in here, because we have been created and designed to have relationship with God, and when that's not there, there's emptiness. And you can run around and fill it with all kinds of pleasures or stuff or whatever you want that makes you feel good. But I want you to know, all of those things will disappoint and they will mistreat you. There's many of us in this room who are old enough and don't have this pure white history. And we can come and say, yeah, that's right. You see, when we are empty and we don't receive the love of God, we're going to try to fill this with something. And what happens is when we don't receive the love of God, it leads us to poor decisions. I will try this. I will do this. Oh, this feels good. And I'm going to go back. And then, you know, and it starts to wear off. Because it was never meant to bring a fulfillment and fullness into our heart and life. Amen. Right? Scripture says it. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. Yes. Can I hear all the people over a certain age go, yeah, it's starting to happen. Right? I didn't want to put an age out there. I was going to, and then I realized, oh, I'm past that. Listen. You're chasing something that ain't gonna, it's not fulfilling. This stuff fades away. But His love, it never fades away. He will never, ever mistreat you. I don't care how strong you are, how fragile you are, He will never mistreat you. You want the guarantee? Look through the Gospels. Look how He treated people. He will say some difficult things, and He will discipline you, and He will watch over you, and because of some of our choices, and just because we live in this fallen world, this life is tough, and bad things will happen. But it doesn't mean that He has left us. Let me tell you about the beauty of being mistreated. We all hate it. But let me tell you about the beauty. It helps us if we're processing it properly with the love of God. It reminds us of our own fallen state. Because we've mistreated others. And the beauty we have to come to a point and say, who am I getting my fulfillment or approval from? And how am I viewing myself? Am I viewing myself based upon the mistreatment of others? Or am I viewing myself from how God treats me and how he loves me? And I will not let the things of this world rob that. And it helps me to forgive. Mistreatment is an aid for me to develop forgiveness. Because I realize that God has had to forgive me, and now I am called to forgive others. Listen, if we don't receive the love of God, how will you ever really truly forgive other people? And so what we're left with in that emptiness and space is resentment, fear, harshness, or total withdrawal, or we're always looking for a fight, or we totally withdraw and we sink into depression. You can whatever list you want. I developed anxiety. I don't trust anybody. You see, when we don't receive the love of God, those are the things that we deal with. But when we receive the love of God into our life, we make better decisions. And it empowers us to love other people better. And it empowers us to be gracious with others who mistreat us, and it doesn't throw us into a tailspin, because my security comes from him. I want you to stand to your feet. Considering the hour, I did preach fairly short. Don't want to not keep a promise and mistreat you. I don't want fear. Listen, I don't want fear to overtake you. You see, Scripture says, perfect love casts out all. If you struggle with fear, you better start focusing not on the fear, focusing on receiving the love of God that he has for you, and to know and to believe it. Now it begins to change our thinking, changes how we process. Fear's still going to come knocking at your door or kicking it in. Or maybe fear just always walks in freely, or worry always just walks in freely. I want fear and worry to come like they can walk in freely and stub their toe and knock their head against the door and say, wait a minute, the door got closed here. I remember the one time at a friend's house, another place I lived. Us guys were there, we were playing some games, and you know, we'd cook food, and I was going to go out to the patio, and it was dark outside, and light wasn't on. I walked right into his patio screen door. My hat flew off, the thing went off the rail. I was like, what in the world? Of course, they're laughing and thinking it's a hilarious thing. I'm all embarrassed. Yeah, couldn't see it. That's the picture I want you to have when fear tries to just walk in freely, because it comes and goes as it wants in your life. Hat flies off and can't just walk in here no more. You struggling with forgiving your spouse? Press into the love of God. It doesn't mean that you can't have boundaries and appropriate structure. It just means you don't have to hold resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness, because it is impacting you and it's causing you to make poor decisions, and it's also affecting the other people around you. And you can change the relationship. It doesn't have to be just with your spouse. It can be with your kid. It can be a family member. It can be a neighbor, whatever it is. Receive the love of God. And please, don't put it based upon, I've been pretty good lately. God must really love me. It's not based on that. If you've been good lately, hallelujah, good for you. There is some encouragement with it. There are rewards. God, you know, you put yourself in a state of blessing, right? That's what we do. We follow God. We transform and change. But please don't think for a moment you got this down, because you will abruptly discover, oh, yeah, I still need him. Something's agitating you with somebody and it's getting the best of you. Receive the love of God and the responsibility that comes with it to love others. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Yeah. But do you know what you have done? That's the right question. And yet God loved me. So, in some ways, let Jesus wash your feet. Receive his love. Because it'll prevent you and I from making poor decisions. It'll help us love other people. That's the power of God to a changed, transformed life. Do you know how many less headaches we would have if we had just good relationships all the time around us? It's amazing what happens. You arrive here in peace and you come through the front door and then you meet some people. And by the time you come in here, your worship is hindered. You're replaying things. I should have said this. Why did they say that? You go on some paranoid journey in your mind. Right? Hey, receive the love of God. Let it empower you to make good decisions and empower you to lay down your preferences in your life to love others, because it's what he has done for you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.